This last week, I've been doing quite a bit of reading and thinking about World War II and the Holocaust in particular. And every time I read about that period of history or think about it, I'm always really moved by the different sacrificial ways that people gave of themselves to save the Jews. And you know, the list is so long, you can't hit all of them, but a couple of people I was reading about this week. One was Oscar Schindler, and he was known through the movie Schindler's List. But he's credited with saving about 1,200 Jews during the Holocaust, with serious cost to himself, threats to his life, threats to his well-being. I read about a new person I had not heard of, Irina Sendler, who is credited with saving over 2,500 Jews during the Holocaust. And she was part of the Polish underground resistance, and her primary role was taking Jewish children and getting them out of hostile areas and getting them into safe places in convents. She was arrested. She was sentenced to death, but was able to escape before the death sentence was carried out on her. And then many of you already know my appreciation for Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a pastor in Germany during that time, but also involved in an assassination plot on Hitler, trying to end the needless loss of innocent lives. And eventually he was caught and executed for his actions. And there's even people in our church who have stories of their families and the ways that their families were sacrificed and laid down their lives really to save people during this time. And you know, and as I was reading through all of those stories, I was reminded that there's just something about those kind of stories that hit us in a different way, isn't it? The stories of someone laying down their life, it moves us differently than any other kind of story. Even this is very different from the Holocaust, but it makes my point. Even silly cartoon stories that talk about this move us. So I remember watching The Lion King with a large group of people, right? And there's the scene where the wildebeest are running down the gorge and Simba's down there and he's going to get trampled and his father, Mufasa, jumps down and saves Simba knowing that he's going to die in order to save his son. And in the middle of this cartoon story, everybody in the room started weeping as they watched this father lay down his life for his son, right? There's something in these kind of stories and these events that kind of hits us in a different way. And it's this truth right here. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Those stories move us and hit us because that this truth is written deep down on our hearts and souls. It's the reason why, if you look at any of the great stories throughout history, this truth is at the center of all of the great stories. It's actually not just at the center of all of the great stories, it's at the center of history, the story of God's work in the world. And this truth is why, when Don read our passage this morning, it's why Jesus can look out at his people and say, I have loved you. Not with some puppy dog kind of love, not with some little warm fuzzy kind of a love, not with a love that kind of flits here and there or comes and goes, but Jesus loved us with the greatest love possible because he laid down his life for us. And as I've reminded us kind of repeatedly over the last few weeks, Jesus didn't just lay down his life for us in his death. Jesus laid down all of his life for us. Everything Jesus did from the point he was born until the point he died was done to exhibit, one, his love to the Father, and two, his love to us. But as we talked about on Good Friday, especially at the end as he was beaten, mocked, and hanging on a cross, Jesus loved us by laying down his life and death. And that story should hit us even deeper than the story of Mufasa or even the story of all of the sacrificial people during the Holocaust and during World War II. because the love that Jesus showed to us in his life, in his death, was greater than anything that's ever been experienced. And on Easter, we're reminded that it's not just Jesus' death in which he loved us. He actually rose from the dead, victorious over sin and death and Satan. And that, too, is his love for us. I've heard it said over the years that Jesus' resurrection from the dead was God's amen to everything that Jesus did, all of the work of Jesus. But I would also say that Jesus' resurrection from the dead is the Father's way of saying to Jesus, I have loved you. And everything that you did, I've loved you. And it's also the Father's way of saying that to us through Jesus. I rose him from the dead because I have loved you. But notice the way that Jesus talks about his love between him and the Father. He says, I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus says, I abide in the Father's love. Another way to say abide is to stay or to remain. I stay connected to the Father's love. And he says the way that he does that is by keeping the Father's commandments. It was his way of showing love to the Father, of course. If I love the Father, I'm going to do the things that the Father told me to do. That Jesus, like, this is an obvious thing. But what I hinted at earlier is also true. Jesus' kind of obedient love for the Father, doing everything that the Father told him to do, is also one of the ways Jesus loved us. Because Jesus lived this perfect, sinless life. The perfect thing he did throughout his entire life was given to us. That's how he loved us. Now, when we look to Christ in faith, we're cleansed and forgiven, but also now when God looks at us, he sees Christ's perfect life in us. That's how Jesus loved us. That's why Jesus can say, I've loved you. I've loved you throughout my entire life. I loved you in my death, and I loved you in my resurrection. And why he says, now won't you look to me and faith, be saved. But notice one of the ways, there's something in this passage you could easily miss, but I want to make sure we don't miss it. In the midst of all of this, Jesus talks about his joy. And he says this right after talking about keeping all the Father's commandments. He says, I kept my Father's commandments, I abide in his love, and he talks about his joy in the midst of doing all of that. It wasn't Jesus kind of following the Father, doing what the Father told him to do, wasn't some kind of begrudging thing where he said, fine, I'll do it if I have to, you know, like a spoiled kid having to clean their room. No, Jesus said, actually, it was my joy to do this. It was my joy to obey the Father, to keep his commandments, and to do what he's called me to do. But I think Jesus is saying something deeper here, something that is really important for us to understand. I think Jesus is not just saying he found joy in obeying the Father, but that joy is found in obeying the Father. Joy is found in keeping the Father's commandments. And here's one of the ways I've explained that over the years. We believe that God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything, and he gave it design and purpose and meaning. And so when God created, and I did not have the tool that I needed to get the job done. And so I watched a few YouTube videos and thought, can I do this without the right tool? Can I get the job done? And I watched these guys break tools and do things that you should never be done with tools, to try to get these ball joints out of the truck. And the whole time I watched, I said, you're using all of these tools in ways they are not supposed to be used. You're going to get hurt. You're going to break something. You're going to probably break the truck. And I realized I would find no joy in trying to fix the truck using all of these wrong tools. And so instead, I rented a tool, the right tool, used it in the right way. Things went very smoothly, and I actually enjoyed working on the truck. That's probably the first time I've ever said that I've enjoyed working on a vehicle. Because I had the right tool, used it the right way, and things went smoothly. And that's kind of the point of this. When God has designed us to live a certain way and we try to live outside of that, all you run into is pain and sorrow and suffering. But when we walk in the way that God has designed us to live, there's peace and joy in that. And when you apply that to Jesus' life, we see Jesus lived perfectly. People have called him, he's the truly human one. He's the one who lived as the epitome. He lived exactly how we were created to live. And he says, and as I did that, I found joy and peace. And so he says to us then, he says, well, then as the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. Now you abide in my love. Remain in my love. Look to me. Trust me. Have faith in me. Love me. And you know, this is really connected with a lot of what we talked about on Good Friday, where Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches, remain in me, you know, be connected to me. But what he's really saying is when you look to me in faith and you're united to me, you have this life flowing through you, you have this strength to obey me. But then part of remaining in my love is remaining in his love the same way he remained in the Father's love, which is by keeping his commandments. And so Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And I think it's important because I think a lot of people struggle to understand what does it mean to abide in Jesus' love, right? And for a lot of people, I get this picture in my mind when they talk about abiding in Jesus' love as almost like suntanning on the beach. You just kind of lay there and the love of Jesus just kind of basks and you're like, ah, you just kind of lay there. But Jesus says, no, if you want to abide in my love, keep my commandments. And this doesn't mean that you earn his love by keeping his commandments. And it doesn't mean you earn your salvation by keeping his commandments. No, we're saved by grace through faith, apart from works, so that no one can boast. But what Jesus is saying is, if you love me, and if you have faith in me, you will obey my commandments. And if you don't want to obey my commandments, and if you don't want to live life the way I've told you to live, then you don't love me. And you don't have faith in me, a true faith in me. And so he kind of goes on and says, if you're wondering what these commandments are, he says, let me kind of sum this up for you. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And now we know in another place, right, where they ask Jesus, what's the first and greatest commandment? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? And Jesus isn't trying to undo that here, but what he's doing is he's kind of explaining it a little bit further and saying, what does it look like to love God? Well, we love God the way Jesus loved us. What does it look like to love our neighbor as ourself? Well, we love them the way Jesus loved us. And he says this, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. That's true love. That's not just true love for Jesus, that's true love for us as well. If you want to truly love God, lay down your life. If you want to truly love your friend, your neighbor, your wife, your children, lay down your life. And this is probably one of the hardest things we ever have to do. And it's hard for us to grasp. Not intellectually, I think we can understand it up here, but deep down in our heart, it's really hard. You know, we love watching movies where people lay down their lives for other people. We love reading books about it, reading stories throughout history where people do this. but we do not want to do it ourselves. And what I find even crazy is you see that there are some people who are willing to lay down their lives in kind of big, powerful ways, but just can't do it when it comes to the small things. And so you'll see someone who's like, I'd be willing to jump in front of a bus and save somebody, but I'm not doing the dishes when I get home. Or I'm willing to stand up in front of people and like ruin my reputation and say hard things. And, you know, I'm going to lay down my life in that way, but I'm not going to give anybody the opportunity to think that they're right. If we're going to lay down our lives, we have to learn how to lay down our lives in all the small things. And that builds up into being able to lay down our lives truly in the big things. And if we're really going to love our neighbor, if we're really going to love our God, it means we lay down our life, not just in big things, but in everything, even the small things. And Jesus says, when you start to do that, guess what? You're living the way I've created you to live. And he says, I've said these things to you that my joy would be in you and that your joy would be full. And he says, everything I've been saying for the last chapter has been so that you would have joy. And not just a little joy, like full joy. The reason I've been teaching you and showing you that I've loved you is so that you would have joy. The reason I've been showing you that, telling you that you need to abide in my love and keep my commandments is so that you would have joy. The reason I'm teaching you that there's no greater love than to lay down your life is so that you would have joy. Because that's how we've been created to live. And when we live that way, we find peace and joy in abundance. And I don't know how much we actually believe that. And again, this is one of those things we have to meditate on over and over and over again, because your own natural sinful inclinations are not going to tell you this is the case, and the world really is not going to tell you this is the case, right? If you go home and go on YouTube and look up, how do I find peace and joy? I can almost guarantee you they will say, focus on yourself. Focus on yourself. You do you, then you'll find peace and joy. And you know that's just another way of saying you're going to find peace and joy by laying down everyone else's life for yourself. And it's no wonder why we have a world that's full of depression, anxiety, and lacking peace and joy. Because that's not how we were designed to have peace and joy. The only way to peace and joy is to lay down our life to God first, then to our friends, then to our neighbors, then to our loved ones. And Jesus says, when you do that, you'll have joy, and not just a little bit, but you'll have it overflowing, filled to the brim. It's really beautiful. You'll live one of those lives that we long to see in movies and books and stories. And yet, I feel like it's important to end by reminding that, you know, everything we've been talking about this morning is connected to everything that we've been talking about for quite a while. And this imagery of Jesus being the vine and us being the branches is all still in play here. And there's this ominous saying that we talked about on Good Friday. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. But then he says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, if you leave this morning thinking, I'm going to go out, I'm going to keep the Father's commands in my own strength, you won't. Because apart from Christ, you can do nothing. Think, I'm going to go out and I'm just going to devote myself to being a better person. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, I'm going to find peace. No, apart from me, you can do nothing. The only way is through Christ. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Look to me in faith and trust. When you look to him in faith and trust, you receive his forgiveness and cleansing of his death. You receive the righteousness of his perfect life. You're united to him. And then he says, now I'm going to walk with you through the rest of your life and the power of the Holy Spirit to help you live the life I've created you to live and help you find peace and joy. But apart from him, you can do nothing. But in him, he says, you will bear much fruit. You will learn how to lay down your life. You will find true peace and joy. And not just a little, but you'll find peace and joy that's full all the way to the brim. Let's come to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence again, thankful for the opportunity to worship you, to praise you this morning, and just continuing to give thanks for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And Father, we come to you and confess, especially after hearing your word this morning, we confess that we often do not want to lay down our lives. We often do not find joy in keeping your commandments and following you. We just do our own thing and focus on ourselves and are miserable as a result. And so, Father, we ask you to forgive us. We ask you to cleanse us. We ask you to fill us anew with your Spirit so that when we leave from here, we leave here connected to the vine with the power and the guidance that you give us. And Father, we pray that your Spirit would continue to lead us out from here so we would learn how to truly lay down our lives. That we would lay down our lives for you, and that we would lay down our lives for our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones. And Father, we pray that you would work in each one of our hearts and souls, that as we live the life you've called us to live, you would fill us up and give us peace and joy. Peace and joy beyond what the world can offer, but a peace and joy that can only truly come from you. And all God's people said, amen.